I'm Brian Moline. The Champaign Unit 4 School Board announced on Wednesday that Dr. Susan Zola will serve as superintendent for the district when Judy Wiegand retires at the end of the school year. Dr. Zola joins me in our studios this morning. Dr. Zola, welcome. Congratulations on your new position.
Well, good morning, Brian. Thank you so much.
You'll be taking over the largest district in Champaign County here as a big renovation project that was approved last November really gets underway, including projects for both high schools in the district. When will we see work begin on these projects?
So there's been a lot of work already happening behind the scenes from the district staff, from our construction and architect team. And so I think the community will start to see some of that work unfold yet this summer. It looks like right now it'll be probably a 4 to 5 to 6 year series of projects, spacing them out in thoughtful ways, both for funding purposes and also just the demand that it would require on labor. So I think the community is going to be very excited as we continue to roll out and be very transparent about the work ahead.
And how are you trying to prioritize which work is done in what order?
So I haven't been at the table for many of those conversations, but I will be in my new role as we transition. My understanding is that part of it is the readiness of the site and the prep work that would need to happen, and also the magnitude of the project. So, for example, for both high schools, just the amount of design and planning work requires more time prior to, obviously, the construction build versus possibly a Dr. Howard, where we know we're going to take the facility down and rebuild on site.
At the state level right now, there's still a lot of talk about the budget impasse. At this point, K-12 education has been funded by the state. That's one of the few things that has been funded at least close to regular levels. But part of the conversation going on right now is a possible increase in the income tax in exchange for a freeze in local property taxes. How would something like that proposal, affect the district here at the local level?
So I think right now what we're finding is because our community has a strong EAV and because our community has been, our district under Dr. Wiegand's leadership has been very fiscally attentive, we see a very steady and sound fund balance. The reality, of course, is that as decisions are made both at the state and federal level, those certainly could impact us. So I think it's early yet for us to know because there's so many different versions that are pending conversations. But it is something that will be on our radar and obviously attentive to across the state.
Yeah, you mentioned at the federal level, certainly the Federal Department of Education has been in the news a lot here the last month or so with the confirmation of Betsy DeVos as the new Secretary of Education. Could you just clarify a little bit for us, what role does the Federal Department of Education play here at the local level?
So the federal government provides guidance on a number of different programming that would be impacted across the country. So, for example, they give us guidance on how to support our students with special needs. They give us guidance on Title I and Title II monies, federal dollars for districts that serve students that have poverty. They give us guidance on how to support our English language learners. So there's a number of things that come from the federal level that roll to the state. The reauthorization used to be No Child Left Behind, now ESSA. And within all of those federal guidances, the states then put plans together that eventually direct our work at the district level. So there's a direct correlation. And again, it would be prudent of any superintendent across the state to be attentive to both what's happening at the local level, obviously the state level, and of course as federal guidance unfolds.
Ms. DeVos is a very big advocate of school choice. That's one of the big things that she has been pushing for in the state of Michigan. Here in Unit 4, you do have some school of choice options for elementary schools at the district level. But in terms of maybe charter schools, some other choice issues, what does the confirmation of Ms. DeVos perhaps mean for those issues going forward?
So I think it's it's a uncharted territory for us right now. You're correct in that our community has a unique student assignment model, which allows families to choose any of our 12 elementary buildings, obviously within some parameters. And I think for the most part, once families sort of traverse through that landscape, that they appreciate that and they value that. We obviously, as a community, value both our public and our private schools, and I think we've had very great collaboration. I think it's hard to tell yet and probably too early to really understand what the implications might be, but I think what it's done is it's garnered a lot of conversation, and at the end of the day, I think that's healthy for communities to talk about the importance of public schools.
Your current position in the district is Assistant Superintendent for Achievement, Curriculum, and Instruction, meaning you work a lot with classroom teachers on developing their curriculums here in the district. What do you see as the biggest challenges right now in the classroom?
So I think what we're finding is that the schools are often a reflection of our community. So as we see students and families working through issues of unemployment or dealing with issues of trauma, I think some of those implications play out in the young people that we serve. And so I think really being attentive to not only academic needs, but the social-emotional needs of our students moving forward may help us continue to accelerate the success for all our students.
You do have some unique buildings at the elementary level with different curricula. You have the International Preparatory Academy, which is a bilingual school. You have a STEM Academy at Booker T. Washington. Any plans to maybe further develop some of those individual curricular models at the elementary level?
So about 5 years ago, we received a $5 million Magnet Schools grant, and we are working to apply for a second one that would be due in early April. That funding could generate between $10 and $12 million additional dollars that would be redirected to possibly a Garden Hills, Stratton Academy of the Arts, and Franklin Middle School. So we're always looking for additional dollars outside the regular funding sources to continue to enhance both the opportunities for our staff and for the students that they serve.
And finally, Dr. Zola, I think I read that as you've been preparing to maybe move offices here in the near future, an exercise bike is part of the office equipment you currently have?
So I think part of the reality in many of our roles as teachers and as administrators is finding the balance between work and life. And so I ran across a bike that has a laptop holder and also a standing desk feature. And so that was my gift to myself at Christmas. And it served me well because it allows me to read email and get a little exercise during the regular work day.
And that'll be making the move with you to the new office as well?
I will carry it directly across the hallway, correct.
All right, very good. Susan Zola, the new superintendent for Champaign Unit 4 Schools, joining us here this morning. Dr. Zola, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brian.